Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are listening to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zinat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first up this afternoon is health news, and I'm sure you're aware of it by now. March is Tuberculosis Awareness Month, and our health care workers are reminded to take special care when attending to patients. I'll be talking to Peter Rousseau, who is the spokesperson for ER24 about it, and that will be followed by The Going Child, and our guest today is none other than our community nursing sister, Sister Fatima Dawood, and we're focusing on behavior development, part 2, how to banish horrible habits. We're all aware of, many mums out there would be very familiar with these things like biting, tantrum throwing and other unpleasant habits, which are actually very normal during toddler years. And today we look at some of those horrible habits, inshallah, and what you can do about it. Our lines, of course, will be open throughout the program. If you have any questions or concerns, please call in. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. You can also WhatsApp or SMS us on the number 082-84-92-786. And I do believe we have Peter Rousseau online today. So good afternoon, Peter. How are you?
Good afternoon, listeners. I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you so much for talking to us today.
It's a big pleasure.
Okay, now, Tuberculosis Awareness Month this year focuses on healthcare workers. Peter, why are healthcare workers more at risk of developing infections than even the general public?
Well, you know, it really has a lot to do with mainly the fact that generally health workers are, you know, more exposed to sick people on a daily basis, because that's what they do. They help sick people. So they're just more prone to be exposed to infections and bacteria than anyone else who isn't working in the healthcare sector. They're also more exposed to, you know, bodily fluids of sick people, which means they're just at greater risk of contracting diseases.
Okay, so precautions. What are the precautions that are in place for healthcare workers then?
Well, I mean, most hospitals and any healthcare institution usually have very strict policies when it comes to making sure that everything is clean, disinfectant, and sterile, meaning your equipment and your workspace and everything that you touch has to be disinfected in order to kind of limit the spread of any forms of bacteria or viruses. And also you get what we call PPE, which is personal protective equipment. This can include masks, helmets, aprons, any form of kind of almost like a barrier that you can add to your body to kind of, battle the spread of infection and the spread of germs. So there definitely are, you know, precautions in place to protect healthcare workers.
Do healthcare workers always adhere to these precautions?
Well, I think always is a very strong word. And there will obviously be instances where, you know, someone slips up or, forgets to sterilize something. But I think in general, it's a very strict code that all healthcare workers adhere to. So I really think in general and for the most part, they do adhere as far as they can, because it's not only their own health that is at risk. It's their patient's health and anyone else who comes in contact with, you know, the building or the ambulance or wherever that healthcare is taking place. So, I think in general that they do try and keep to that strict code.
Well, we certainly hope that they do, and if they aren't, then hopefully this month will make them more aware of it again, hopefully.
For sure, yeah. I think that's also what ER24 tries to do when we send out these kind of health and awareness articles and graphics and videos, is just to make the public aware. Because if something is at the back of your head, and you've seen it somewhere, you are more likely to kind of, you know, be aware of what's going on around you and be more clean and be more safe.
Mm-hmm. I think generally people these days are more careful because, you know, with the things like TB, okay, with what we are talking about, HIV, I think people are very, very concerned about it these days. So even if, you know, at an accident scene for that matter, you would certainly find people working with gloves and masks if necessary.
For sure. I mean, bodily fluid is also a big kind of way that you can catch viruses and bacteria. So definitely there'll always be gloves and, you know, all sorts of protective personnel equipment that are being used in instances like that. Just maybe on the HIV topic, a lot of people wonder why, you know, what's the correlation between TB and HIV. And the plain fact is just because HIV kind of makes your immunity much lower. So basically, it makes you more prone to catch viruses and bacteria. So you're just more prone to catch any form of infection. TB is just one of them. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that it's important for people to know that this does not mean that everybody with HIV has TB. It also doesn't mean anybody with TB has HIV. People must remember it's two completely different viruses and two completely different illnesses. And the one doesn't necessarily always go hand in hand with the other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, there are many patients that have untreated TB or their health status perhaps are known, but they are unable to, of course, to reveal it for whatever the reason may be. Now, the procedures, what are the procedures for health workers to follow to safeguard themselves?
Well, I think the same, it's pretty much the same answer as the previous question. So I think in all cases, you should always expect the worst, meaning no matter what you think the patient may or may not have or what condition the patient is in, you should always have all your PPE ready. You should always wear gloves and you should pretty much always wear a mask as far as you can, just to kind of limit your exposure to bodily fluid, limit your exposure to coughing, to, you know, anything that can infect you. Whether you are sure that person has an infectious disease like TB or not, that should be standard practice all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is sometimes very difficult for healthcare workers to actually, you know what the status, health status of the person is. And like I said earlier, you know, sometimes they reveal it, sometimes it cannot be revealed for whatever reason. But like you say, it's important for them to be, you know, to obviously follow the health procedures or these precautionary procedures.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, now you spoke to us a little about the relationship between HIV and TB, but just for the benefit of our listeners, can you just tell us a little bit about what tuberculosis actually is?
Okay, so TB or tuberculosis, TB is just a shortening of it, if you will. It is an infectious disease, and it is mostly spread through the air. An interesting fact that even though TB is contagious, it's actually not very easy to catch, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So if you work in an area with good ventilation, you won't really catch it that easily. It really kind of, it's a communal disease, meaning if it's in an area where there's very little ventilation with a lot of people, you really need to be in close proximity with a person that has TB in order to catch it. Mostly it'll affect the lungs, but it can also affect the brain as well as the liver. You actually get liver TB and brain TB, but most commonly it'll be found in the lungs. And yeah, like I said already, it is most of the time, actually one in three deaths, HIV deaths, is basically because of TB. They do sometimes go hand in hand, mostly because your immune system, when you are HIV positive, is heavily compromised. Mm-hmm. So you are more prone to diseases. And yeah, that's a kind of broad idea of what TB actually is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are some of the symptoms that health workers, or even for that matter, the public, must be made aware of?
Okay, so the symptoms, and just on that quickly, the symptoms of TB, and that's one of the biggest problems with it, it's so broad, and it really resembles a flu in the beginning, meaning you won't necessarily take it as seriously. But I mean, symptoms include a prolonged cough, night sweats, fever, heavy, you know, extreme exhaustion, any form of chest pains, sudden weight and appetite loss is usually a big giveaway. And then the biggest one is coughing up blood. Mm. So if you ever see yourself, a family member, a friend, a colleague, if they're coughing up blood, it is very serious. You must definitely see a doctor as soon as they can.
Okay, this sounds very serious, coughing up of blood. But I think the moment you see that, you yourself would know that something's not right and I need to have it seen to immediately.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, and if one is infected, how soon does treatment start? And, you know, the treatment, I understand, is a very long procedure, you know, so how long does it normally last?
Okay, so that's a very difficult question to answer. So let's start with the first part. So the ideal scenario would be, as soon as a person is diagnosed, treatment should start immediately. Even though that's not always possible, not always the case, that is the ideal, that the moment you know you've got TB, you should receive treatment as soon as possible. And treatment, however, the length of the treatment really varies in terms of what type of TB you have. And also you get a TB which is called drug-resistant TB, which is much more serious than the normal TB kind of illness. And also it depends on when it was diagnosed, in what stage it was diagnosed, how severe it already is. Is it in the beginning phase or the later phase? And whether the patient is HIV positive or has any other immune deficiency syndrome. To give an exact time frame to treatment is very, very difficult. But it is important to know that, yeah, it is a long, it's not like you take one tablet and it's gone. It's definitely a kind of, what could you call it, a process.
A long process. One. Yes, yes, and also I think very important for listeners that are infected for that matter is that I do understand that the treatment is, you know, you need to be very, you have to follow the treatment very, very properly.
Yes, you mean you have to be consistent in how you take it? Yes, definitely. I mean, we would always advise people that counts for any medication. You should never take medication how you feel. You should take medication as it was, you know, stated on the box by your healthcare professional. But especially with TB, yes, it's very important that you are consistent. So you can't skip a day or just, you know, forget to take your tablets or your medication. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can it be cured?
Yes. A lot of people don't know this, but TB can be cured. It is a curable illness. So it is not something that when you have it, it's a death sentence. Not at all. It's definitely something with the proper, you know, treatment, it is curable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good news, I think, for all our listeners out there. And finally, you know, we always hear and see ER24 everywhere around us. Tell us more about ER24 and the services provided by ER24.
Okay, well, just in short, ER24 is the premier private emergency medical care provider in South Africa. We've been providing a range of quality emergency response and pre-hospital care services since 2002. So we've been going at it for about 16 years. Mm-hmm. We operate from more than 45 bases throughout South Africa. We also have site-based medical services, which are now, mainly on-site. So that can be anything on mines or to any specific site allocated just for that site that goes across country. We are wholly owned by Mediclinic International, the Remgro group of companies. They own and manage 52 private hospitals only in South Africa. We also exceed, our footprint kind of extends globally. We've got 76 hospitals and clinic with Mediclinic as well. And Mediclinic is ranked amongst the top 10 private hospitals in the world. Obviously, we also have Hirsch London, which is in Switzerland, and in the United Arab Emirates, we also have Al Nur, which is a healthcare provider there. So we are also connected to an expansive network of emergency service bodies and integration team management systems, and we offer a very wide variety of services. I think if listeners would like to find out more, the best way would be to actually visit our website. Mm-hmm. They can visit that at www.er24.co.za.
Well, and I think you definitely were, you know, the real help for service.
Real help, real fast. That's the one, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Peter, for all that information that you shared with us. And we certainly hope our listeners out there have listened carefully, especially our healthcare workers, because we really cannot do without them. So any last message that you would like to share with us?
Just in general, you know, be safe. Look after yourself. Look after your family. And just drive safe on the road. The Easter weekend is coming up, so everybody, you know, usually makes use of the holidays there and goes on holiday, you know, on the road. So just be safe. Make sure that your car is roadworthy. Just drive safe. And think for the other guy as well. Don't only think for yourself.
Oh, well, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Big pleasure. Have a good afternoon. Bye.
You too. Thank you so much. Well, that was Peter Rousseau, who is the spokesperson for ER24, and he's been telling us more about the TB Awareness Month. And of course, this year they're focusing on healthcare workers, simply because they are more at risk of developing infections than the general public. Well, stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. And today we're going to be talking to Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister on the program, The Growing Child. And today we're looking at behavior development, the second part of our program, how to banish horrid habits. Biting, tantrum throwing, and other unpleasant habits are normal during toddler years. Today we look at some of those horrible habits and also what you can do about it. Inshallah, stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, and it's time for the Growing Child slot. And today my guest is Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister, and we inshallah going to be focusing on behavior development, how to banish those horrible habits. We're going to be looking at, of course, I'll tell you that in a few moments, but we all want our children to be little angels, don't we? At least in public, though. And when your newborn arrives, this is exactly what you've got, at least most of the time. Then your precious little angel gets a mind of her own and begins to strive for independence. All of a sudden, life is less easy because she realizes that she's not completely joined to you at the hip. When she doesn't want, doesn't get what her own way, you might find yourself facing unpleasant behavior like things like biting and hitting, pinching and tantrum throwing, both at home and also when you're out and about. Yes, these are some of the horrible, habits that our little ones have. And, it's absolutely normal because you do have to go through them. And in our last program, we spoke about biting, you know, why children start biting, when it starts, and what to do. And maybe I can just share a little of what we spoke about last week. They say why they start biting is definitely to get attention, or get their own way. And your baby isn't old enough, unfortunately, to express themselves rationally, so they try to do these things in other ways. And what is one of the ways that they do it is by starting to bite. And when does this normally start? They say it's common. Biting especially is common between the ages of 1 and 3, when your baby is more likely to start learning to socialize with other little ones. She or he could also, of course, decide to bite you. At this stage, this little one doesn't have the skills or the language abilities to deal with confrontation in any other way. And what you need to do then is something called time out. They say it's a good way to teach your baby that biting is wrong. What you do when they talk about this is that you actually remove her from the little situation to show her or him, for that matter, that the behavior won't be accepted and that there are consequences to her actions. Whether this works or doesn't work, I'm not sure, but these are some of the ways that they say can actually help a child, or you know, you can try and get them to stop that kind of behavior. Obviously, it's not going to happen in one day, or, you know, it's not going to stop immediately. It may take a few times for you to get them to do this. But anyway, we're going on to the next one today, and we're going to be talking about hitting and pinching, which is also a terrible habit. You know, especially if they go around hitting and punching other people's children. If they do it to your own children, it's one thing, but when they start doing it to other people's children, then it certainly does become a bigger problem. Anyway, I first want to welcome Sister Fatima. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Fatima, and Jazakallah khair for joining us this afternoon on this program once again.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, I hope, I know it's been a while. We actually did not have a program in February this year, but you know, time actually went past so fast. And yes, now, Sister Fatima, like I said earlier, these are some of the, we have some ways of, you know, this is what the book says. This is what you do when your child does, you know, behaves in this way or in that way. But does behavior always, especially what the book says, does it always work that way? The solutions, obviously, that we're talking about.
Look, these are all little problems that take place in a normal, healthy child. If we can just think about it in that way, that this child can hear well, he's starting to talk, he expects you to listen to him, he's got his behavior needs, he's got his body needs, he's got his, all the needs that the child needs comes into place at this time.
I think he's starting to get independent. He wants to start getting independent.
And we don't understand it. What we, you know, the mothers of today, I think, are but more fortunate than we were in our times, because we were the old people and we never understood that children do these things because they are normal. We used to always say that the children are naughty. Now, the word naughty shouldn't be used at all.
It should be out
completely.
Yeah, we should never use the word naughty, actually.
But what we do is that we say naughty and we hit. When we hit, the child learns that when you hit a person, it hurts. So if they want attention, like we were talking about now, is hitting and biting. They want attention, and how do you get attention? If I perform, then my mother's going to hit me. And when she hits, it hurts. And when it hurts, then I sort of pull back a little, because nobody wants to get hurt, really. And hurt is not a good feeling for anybody. So what the child does, and when he sees, especially when you had visitors or family members coming home, that's when the child performs the most. Why do they do that? We must think. It's because they want to be attended to. They like attention. And the time they do get attention is when people come home, or when visitors come home, or when strangers come to the place. That's the time the child gets the most attention, because what the mother does, she's alert at that time, watching what this toddler is doing, or what this child is doing all the time, to guard him
and
against
watch him,
these things.
Yeah, or what he must not be doing.
Yeah. And so you guard him not to do what he normally, not that he normally does that, but what we do is we protect all the time. I don't know, is it that you're protecting the other child or you're protecting your own child? It's a protection mechanism.
It's both ways. Hmm. You try to protect your little one, and you also don't want them to hurt somebody else's child. Yes. So you try and protect the other baby as well, or the other children for that matter.
And then you're protecting yourself as well against embarrassment. So I think that's the most important one, is the mother protects herself, because we now have different homes. We have very smart homes. We have very immaculate homes. We've got things that never were there before, like the beautiful glasswork and the ornaments that come around. So what we do is we're protecting ourselves, really, when you look at it. You're not protecting the child. Because if the child touches anything, you are alert all the time. And when somebody else's child does it, you can't hit that child, because it's not your child. So you get annoyed, and you take your annoyance out on your child, which is so unfair.
Mm. You know, this is something I wanted to just, you mentioned it earlier, and before I forget about it, I'd like to come up here. You mentioned that, you know, we sometimes hit our little ones, and obviously what do? When we hit, we hurt the child. Mm. And a child learns.
They learn.
They learn that is something that I can use. It becomes a little weapon. That, okay, you can hit, it hurts. So I can use that too on somebody else. If I can't use it on, well, I can't hit back at my mom, of course, but wait till my little sibling does something wrong, I'm also going to hit the child back. You know, I'll just hit back again. We don't realize, but they are learning all the time, and they pick up all these habits, unfortunately, from us.
Yes.
From us, the adults in the home. So as adults, when we have little children, we have to be such good examples to them. I know it becomes very difficult because we need to be on our best behavior where our children are concerned. Because if we want our children to behave well, then as parents, we have to behave well.
And the other important thing is we have to behave well with ourselves as well, husband and wife.
What? Because people around us.
The people. Well, the first thing is because the children are watching, and they need attention. They need people to take care of them. They need people to take notice of them. So how does this adult take notice of me is when I do something that they don't like, or if I hurt somebody whom they're afraid of, and I can talk, I can say things, and get attention. Because if adults talk to each other, sometimes we use languages. Some languages are just used as by the way. Sometimes we use language to hurt each other. Sometimes we use language to insult each other, not realizing the child is listening to us. And this child now listens to this, and they're learning that if you want attention, this is what you do. And when the neighbor's child comes, or the little sibling performs, this is what they do. They look for attention. And how do you get attention? Is by hurting the next person, by saying something to the next person, by doing something to the next person.
Screaming,
by shouting. Anything to get attention, and this is what children do.
Yes, it's so important for us as adults to be so aware of how we behave in front of our little ones. So basically, when you have a child, you need to change your whole way, especially if you know you have some bad habits. You need to change them, some bad behavior habits especially, because that is what your children will be picking up. Sometimes you don't have to teach them these things. They just, you know, observe and absorb.
You know, sometimes what we do is when you do something and you find something that you don't like, or you made a mistake, and you say, "F it, man." That's a word we all use, and our children use that so readily,
so easily
they
for
use
them,
so easily at any time, anywhere. And we are the ones that get embarrassed. But where did this child learn it from?
That's our very, it's a you know, a way of getting out, trying to get out of a situation. Because I mean, you won't tell people that okay, I use the word so. Obviously, you know, the child is using it too. You're going to say, oh, I don't know where you picked it up from.
The children of ours, yeah.
But I mean, if you just think of it, everybody would know. The child is more with you, so who else would possibly be using that word?
And
so we need to be very careful. Yes.
And what we must remember is our child imitate us. Mm. They don't imitate other people. They don't imitate anybody else but the house people. They'll imitate the granny, they'll imitate the grandfather, the father, the mother, the siblings. They imitate those people, not outsiders. They don't. No matter what they hear outside, I think they become deaf outside because they're so busy working. They are so busy doing things. Because remember, when you go visiting, did you notice it that the children now look for things and you see, but we've got all this at home. Why is this child doing it? Is he naughty? What does he want? It's just that the excitement of being out of that environment that they're so used to. Now they're in a new environment. And even if you've got the same things in that house that you've got in your home, to them it's different. To the child, it's in a different environment. It's in a different situation at the moment. So what they do is they try to draw attention it's not that they're trying to draw attention. They're trying to explore. Explore is the word. Now they're finding something else. This tricycle doesn't look like mine. It's got a different color there. So maybe that one is better than mine. But let me try that one. So they go for it. And now, you know, sibling jealousy, even if it's another person's child, your own siblings, the same ages. So they start, they fight with each other, or they say things. And the first thing to do is, the nearest thing to do is to pinch and to bite. That's the nearest one, because that's what children want, because they've got it on them all the time. The teeth are there, the hands are there.
A reminder to our listeners, if you have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548. We have Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister, with us. And we're talking about those little horrible habits that our little ones have. Things like biting, tantrum throwing, you know, hitting and pinching. Whining, that's another one. Defiance, there's so many things that these little ones can actually get up to that can drive parents absolutely crazy. But, you know, just to tell you what the book says about hitting and pinching, it says, first of all, why does it start? They say this behavior tends to start as your newly mobile baby. Your baby, remember, is now movable, can go all over, is a little mobile, starts to want to do things she or he is just not big enough or coordinated enough for, and becomes intensely frustrated. Yes, also, that's one of the reasons I believe children do come up with these horrible habits sometimes. That is frustration, just simply because they cannot do what they want to do. They're either too small to do it, too short to do it, and they see the other siblings doing things and they want to do it and they can't do it. So that's one of the causes. They say, when does it normally start? Between the ages of 1 and 2. We call them those terrible twos, eh? But it can start earlier than that, definitely earlier than 2 years. It can start and it goes on for a long time. And they say what you actually can do is, you know, when a child is either biting, yes, now maybe Auntie Fatima, you can give us your what you think about it, but I'm just telling you what the book says, what to do when a child bites or hits. Immediately, you as a parent should place your baby so she's, you know, facing something boring. So you turn the baby away from that situation that she is in, into let her look at something very boring. Maybe just look at a wall. There's nothing on the wall. And they say, kneel behind her, holding her hands at her sides, and say, we don't hit or we don't pinch. I don't know if this will work. And this strategy works for biting children too. You know, children that keeps on biting. Most babies will stand still for a short while to see what the game is and will then get upset when they realize it's not a game. And after another 10 seconds, your baby will become, you know, a little upset, but then you let go. Follow up with approving attention as soon as she starts doing something acceptable. Repeat this time every, you know, repeat this every time she begins an aggressive act. So basically what she says is every time a child does something like hitting or pinching for that matter, or even biting for that matter, is you take the child away from that little situation that they're in, turn them away, maybe let them look at something very boring. You know, and first the child may think it's a game, but if it's they'll soon realize this is very boring, this is not a game. And then, you know, every time that, you know, what they say is, if a child then, of course, does something good, immediately you need to either applaud the child or make the child feel like you really are doing something good. So, you know, sometimes we'll give them little something just to make them feel that you are really doing something good. But let the child know that this is what is good, and what you had done just now was not a good thing. And they say, repeat this procedure all the time. Whether it works, I don't know. I think half the time we don't have the patience to try out all this. You know, when a child does something wrong, we immediately retaliate. You know,
Janet, you know, what the book says is the perfect child, the perfect solution, is the ideal solution when you read books. That's why sometimes when people ask me what was the, I read books, I do read books, but I the book
it's practical.
It's not practical. It's something out of this world. It's something too perfect.
It doesn't always
work. It doesn't work, yeah.
Works with some children, but it's not going to work with all the children.
It may work, but my solution is that I always feel that we don't pay attention enough to our children. We don't love our children. Show them.
We love them, but we don't have the time to show it to them.
We must love our children. We must love what they do. We must love them when they get into the bath and they splash with the water and they laugh and we get annoyed because now you are wet and the father's coming home and the floor is time and the floor is wet and slippery and this child is aggravating me now. Now he's aggravating me and you bite your teeth. The child wants little love. Show the child your love.
All the time.
All the children need it. Even if they do wrong, love them. They're going to learn themselves. A child that is loved, they don't do annoying things like biting children. That biting is a learning process. What we do is buy a little toy and rub the little gums lovingly. You know, come, mommy, rub your gums so you sit with your baby. Time out. Time out is one of the very important things with your children. Have time out with them. After cooking, sit down for a while and then rub the little gums or play with them or play ball with them in the house, throw the ball. And if they throw too high, you say, you're going to break. Children understand? You're going to break things. So throw it low. And because mommy is so loving and talking so sweet with them, they actually do what you tell them to do. And they grow with them in the situation where when you go into a shop, did you see children hitting tantrums in the shop?
Mm.
You know, I think the most embarrassing thing for any parent. But it's because the child is no all the time, and no is a terrible word for a child. And when they're out there, no doesn't work. Now they're going to show you what works, what no, how no works the other way. So they will do something to annoy you and you can't do anything because you're in a situation where you can't do that. You can't hit, you can't scream, you're in a shopping center and everyone's going to look at you.
Okay, we'll be talking more about that in a few minutes. We're taking a break and when we return, inshallah, we're going to talk a little about whining, you know, our little ones. Whining, and it can sometimes drive parents absolutely crazy. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, The Growing Child. I'm your host, Sister Zenith, and my guest is Sister Fatima Dawood. We're talking about those horrible habits that our little ones have, and we're looking at things like biting, hitting, pinching. We're now going to look at something called whining. Sister Fatima, why do children whine?
The same, how do you say it? Same.
Same reason.
Same, because it's of attention seeking. Isn't it, you know, the thing about us, when we want attention from our husbands, so we'll sit and sometimes we whine because we want something, and then we're going to sit in the corner and cry and the attention is there. Then you get all the attention. Why are you crying? What happened? Why? Somebody do something to you, somebody hit you, somebody say something. The children do the same thing. They learn it from us. Isn't it? They learn from us. So anyway, whining is just attention seeking. The child wants you to pay attention to them. So what we must do is...
Yeah, that's what it is. How do you handle a whining child? And, you know, it can be... Auntie Fatima, it can be very, very annoying. You know, I have little grandchildren, and I sometimes watch them when they start whining, you know, and I look at the poor parents, and I just think, oh, what do you do?
But you just, when do they whine? Think about it.
Definitely when they do want attention.
When they want attention.
But sometimes it's at the wrong time.
Yes. The timing, because our timing is we have made our timing, we divided the day into our timing. Morning is this one, lunchtime, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock is cooking time because the husband's coming home, isn't it? And because he's coming home, now we're busy cooking and the child wants time out. So what we do is we ignore the child because we've got this to do. He's coming home now. When he comes home, he wants warm food, he wants hot food. Understand? So what happens here is the child will whine because the child wants attention. We must be able to divide our time. You know, we not divide our time. We must have the proper timing of doing things. What you should do is when the child is asleep or, you know, happily doing something, that's the time we should do our cooking. Before, you know, in our mother's time, the food used to go onto the stove and onto the table, into the hot plate of the husband, because when he comes home, he wants hot rotis that are freshly made, fresh food. Isn't it?
Mm.
Hey, how was it those days? When he comes home, it's fresh food, fresh. The tea is boiling because we must have nice hot boiling tea. So when he comes home, everything must be done. We don't live like that anymore. We've got much more time with our children. We spend more time with our kids now. And this is important. Make your time for your children away from your responsibilities. The responsibilities of a woman is to look after home, look after children, look after the husband, see to things that happen at certain times. Those times must be split to fit those children in the important times.
Yes, I think so. It's so important, basically. Once you have children, you need to kind of change your times around your children.
Around
rather.
Them.
You know, try and get them, when they're in the best of moods, then you can do things that you need to do. You know, when they don't need you. Because when they're happy and... you know, not hungry, and when they're satisfied and they're playing around and they're happy, that's the time that when they don't want you around, when they're doing their own little
things. And they won't do these little things. But when they are not happy, they find attention-seeking time.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Attention-seeking, they seek time when they know that you can't do it, so now they're going to annoy you. And they know they're annoying you. Because now you have to do something that has to be done. And they want attention now. So try and fit them into your timing.
Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, whining normally happens in older children. Children that can actually talk. Because they won't tell you.
Yes, they'll tell you.
They talk nicely. They'll be able to tell you what the problem really is. And it's more likely to happen if your toddler is hungry, tired, or frustrated,
yeah.
And whatever she wants, you know, whenever she wants some kind of attention, for that matter. So yes, that's some of the ways, and that's so true. You know, I think one of the ways for us to actually stop your child from whining all the time is make sure that your child is not hungry. You know, the child is not tired, because now the child is tired and you're busy preparing a meal. And you don't have the time to actually, you have to get that meal ready because your husband is coming home just now and, you know, everybody will be down there for supper. And that's when the child wants your attention. So if you know, I'm going to be busy at this time and normally my children will be fed at this time, then make sure that your child is not hungry at that time. Make sure your child is distracted. You know, you keep them busy with something else. So that they're happy at that time when you're busy. So, you just need to time your day and watch your children and know your child. And as a parent, I think it's so important. You know your children best. And you need to, like we said earlier, work around them.
Work around them. And the most important thing, of course, is loving them. Children need love all the time.
Mm.
And if you can love them, they're going to love you back. And they will, you know, they'll respect you and they will do what you want them to do. And this is what the children are.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Well, we don't have much time. But inshallah. Okay, just before we end, we have a few minutes, Sister Fatima. Just tell me, what do you do now if your child is now whining at that time? What do you do to actually calm the child down?
You know, the people feel that it's impossible to do that. Because when the child is whining, you are aggravated as a mother. Because you don't know what the child wants. If you can just pick up the child and hold him to you, just hold him. And I think the mere heartbeat of the mother that they're listening to, it actually soothes them. And once you hold and cuddle them in your arms, children understand that they are loved. And they will understand that. Because what we do is, when a child is whining and crying like that, we hit the top of that. or we scream on top of that, or we get annoyed with them on top of that, and which aggravates the situation even more. So it's for us to understand the child, not the child to understand us. We have to understand our children. We are the adults. We know what it is to have a family, how to treat the family, what it gives up to treat the family, what it gives up to love a family, to be a loving mother at all times. It's difficult. We are only human, but we can do it with the little love and attention that the child needs
and
at
a lot
the time,
of patience
and a lot of patience
and a lot of patience.
That's
I think as
need.
Parents, you need a lot of patience. By hitting them and scolding them and
you're hurting, you hit the child,
screaming
you hurt
at them,
the child.
You're going to get absolutely nothing out of it.
But you're hurting the child, you expect the child to keep quiet. You smack the child and you expect the child to keep quiet. You hurt the child. And you didn't even hurt the child more than what you hurt the child's innermost feeling. That's what you hurt. And when they whine like get this, they want attention. Just please be with me, I need you. That's all they do.
Okay, well, bad toddler habits are normal, all part of her development, and she should grow out of them in time. But when do these nasty tendencies start, and how should you deal with them? Yes, that is what you actually need to know, how to actually deal with these tendencies. But inshallah, you know, like we said, with a lot of love, attention, and definitely a lot of patience.
From both parents,
yes.
Not one only.
From both parents,
both
yes. Parents. Inshallah, all of this will be something that you can laugh about later in life.
Inshallah.
And it doesn't last forever. I think that's the important thing, you know, it doesn't last forever. It's just those few years of your little one's life.
But isn't it ironical when our children are there with us, in the way they're noisy, and when they grow up, when we need them,
they're not around. Well, inshallah, our children will be around for us. We make inshallah. The word that they do. But jazakallah khair. That's it then from us. Until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.